All right. Thank you for that, ladies. And thank you for being with us this morning on our live stream. I want to be an encouragement to you this morning. That was a great song, by the way. All is well. Okay. We listen to a lot of things going on around us, and we have a tendency when we're hearing a bunch of negative things to let that get into our spirit. And if we do, we're not going to think all is well. But let me just say something. All is well. And we can have comfort in the storms of life. We're going to talk a little about that this morning. Doubt is a part of our lives. The greatest of individuals at some point will tell you that in certain situations and certain times, doubt creeps into their life. As much as we would like to, we don't want to admit it, it's true. Things come our way, and even if we know something is right, even if we know something is solid, that doubt still creeps in. And that's okay. We're human. When uncertainty comes, we're human. You see, we like certainty, and we like security. Life doesn't work that way. We like resolution. We like finality. We want stuff to just be black and white. Here it is. It's all well. Life doesn't work like that. Why? We have a tendency to get a little, I guess you could say, cattywampus, because we don't like change. We want everything to be right on target, going the way it always has. We don't like that. I don't like change. It doesn't mean I don't, things that need to be changed. I like schedule. I like, we do this, here's when we do it, here's how we do it, and we do it all the time. I don't like getting off schedule. I don't like chaos. My wife, she thrives in chaos. I guess most mothers do, right? I have to kind of get used to chaos because we have 7 children and a bunch of grandchildren and people over the house, and our life is like that. But I'm okay with that, kind of. But I don't like being off schedule. I want things to be right. Things now aren't like that. I mean, you have all kinds of things going on that aren't normal. Long lines at the store. By the way, most of that's to buy toilet paper or whatever. And then the lines are even longer now because one person stands here and the next person in line stands here. So you have to wait in a long line we don't like that. Stay-at-home orders. People are home a lot more than they normally would be. I don't know if you saw the little video where they asked the guy, hey, you're going to be quarantined. How many of you seen the video? Hey, you're going to be quarantined. You have two options. Option A is you'll be quarantined with your wife and children. And option B, and he said B before he even heard what it was, okay? I kind of feel like that sometimes. Longer this goes, the less I like my family. And I'm sure they don't like me. Not meeting together at church, that's a change. I mean, we all think, oh, it's nice. You know, you just step into your living room. That's your new auditorium with your coffee and your breakfast and your comfortable couch. And it seems nice, but after a while, it's like, well, I want to be at church. I don't like this. By the way, I'm at church. I can't live stream from my house. Your workplace, some of you, there's a lot of uncertainty about your work. We don't like that. And so we start to doubt. And so there are some things, though, that we need to understand when doubt comes. Now, let's look at our story. Jesus and the disciples had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus, Peter, James, and John. I mean, that's an incredible thing. Can you imagine Peter, James, and John were there? Jesus, Moses, and what an incredible, and they come down from the mountain, and as soon as they get down from the mountain, he finds the other disciples. And here they are surrounded by the religious crowd and the Jews, and you can see they're questioning them. And they're trying to trip them up and catch them and make them look bad. And Jesus comes down to this. And as Jesus comes down, the people that are watching all of this, they all run to him. And Jesus looks and says, why are you questioning the disciples? He's going to step in. But before there's an answer, a man steps forward. His son is possessed. He describes his desperate situation to Jesus. He just cuts through all of it. Says, I have a son, and I know the verse you like there, you know, I brought my son which hath a dumb spirit, and you're probably thinking, I have a son like that. I have a couple, by the way. But it was more than that. It was demon possession, and it was hurting him, trying to kill him, to be real honest with you. Throwing him in the water, trying to throw him in the fire. And this man had a desperate need, and he comes to Jesus. He says, look, I brought him to your disciples, the ones that weren't at the Mount of Transfiguration, and they couldn't do anything. You got to feel for those disciples. This man brought the son, and they couldn't heal him, and then they're attacked by the scribes, the Pharisees, all these guys trying to question him. And Jesus comes down to this mess, and in the midst of all of it, there was this man that had a need. He asked Jesus, can you do anything for me? Can you help me? Jesus brings the boy to him, and immediately the demon, instead of understanding who Jesus is, although he did, he doubled down. He threw him on the ground, and he's wallowing to the point where they thought he was dead. The man's like, can you do anything? Jesus says, I can. If you believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. He throws the ball in his court. And here's his answer. And by the way, it's a bit confusing, but if you think about it, you understand it. Verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears. He was sincere. He's a good man. Trying to get the right thing. He came to the right place. And yet with tears, Lord, I believe. Now, if that was us, that's where we want to stop the story. Jesus said, listen, all things are possible. Just believe. And we would say, Lord, I believe. But this man, to his credit, was absolutely honest. Help thou mine unbelief. Now, wait a minute. How can we believe if we have unbelief? Aren't those two separated? No. We believe, but there's always that part of us that struggles still. And this man struggled. He had the faith to come, and when Jesus wasn't there, to ask his disciples to help. But yet that didn't work. He came looking for help, and Jesus wasn't there at that time. And all he found was disciples that couldn't help, and then he found a group that wanted to sit there and debate religious principles with Jesus' followers. Jesus finally shows up and asks for help. And he thinks, here he is, the one who can help me. And immediately, when he calls the son, instead of getting immediate help, the son is thrown on the ground, and the demon tries one last time to take him out. He knows that Jesus can heal him, or he had enough belief to come to Jesus believing he can heal him, but it didn't happen. His heart is so confused. Now, we know the end of the story. We know that he does get help. But I want us to focus on how the father felt at that very troubling time. He believed, but he struggled with unbelief. The best way for us to stay secure when we want to doubt, to remain calm when everything around us is crazy and we want to fear, when everything is changing around us daily, is to focus on the things that have not changed and never will. You see, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of all of it, we'll see from the story that there are some things that don't change. And by the way, I'm not just talking about this virus. This will pass. Because there will come things, maybe not nationwide, but there'll come things personally in your life that will cause issues. And to make you feel like some people feel today because of this virus. And at that time, when you want to believe and you have some belief, but yet unbelief is there and the emotions are taking over, what do we got to do? We got to stake our claim to the things that don't change. We've got to make sure that what we are sticking with are the things that are solid and secure. What are those things? Let me mention to you five of them this morning. These things have not changed. First of all, do you know the truth of the Bible has not changed? The Bible is still true. He wanted to believe the word that Jesus said. Jesus said, and these are the words of Christ, they're in our Bible, and he said them. All things are possible. If you just believe, this can happen. Yet the turmoil was there. He tried to believe. But I'll give him credit. He tried to believe in the right thing even when the doubt was inside. And he didn't just complain about the unbelief. He asked for help with the unbelief. But he had the words that were right there. It is possible if you'll just believe. In our situation around us, we hear all kinds of voices. By the way, it would be nice if all of our leaders and everybody in the media would just get together and let's work on this thing and quit fighting each other. Some are seeing it as something to use for their personal gain. Hey, it used to be in our country, when things went bad, regardless of what we believe, we all got together and fought this thing and didn't place blame, and we tried to work together. Thought I'd throw that in. But you're hearing all these voices. And by the way, if you're just sitting around listening to the news all day, and I know it's hard because you got this extra time, especially if you're not working, and you're listening to these idiotic news networks, I'd be depressed too. But you know what? Let's run to the Bible. I'm not saying be irresponsible in times of tragedy, whether it's this or anything else that's going on in your life. Do the right thing, but listen, the truth of the scripture has not changed. It has assurances. Verse 23, as we said, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. The Father said, look, can you do anything? And Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible. The Father's like, is there something you can do? Is it even possible? Now, he knew it, but that's the doubt. And Jesus said, if you believe. The assurances of Scripture are still reliable. We don't test Scripture by what's going on around us. We test what's going on around us by Scripture. And the Scripture is an encouragement. I hope that you're not spending your day on your social media all the time listening to all the competing voices, that you're listening to the news and all the nonsense at the expense of listening to the truth of God's Word. I'm not saying we shouldn't know what's going on. I'm checking it out. But I have the scripture. I know the truth of God's word. You know, the problem is our society doesn't like the Bible anymore. They don't want to have anything to do with God. I didn't see it. I saw a clip and a little bit. But the CEO of MyPillow got up and he's taken his pillow factory and they're making some things to help with this pandemic. And by the way, a lot of companies in our country are. You don't hear that on the news, by the way. And in his little commentary, he encouraged the nation to get back to the scripture. And instead of looking, saying, wow, his company is trying to do something to help, they criticized him for pushing the country back to scripture. And we're going to listen to those people? I want to get to the scripture. I want some encouragement. I need something good. And I get it in God's word. When everything around me seems crazy and nuts, whether it's this or you have an illness or something happens to your family, whatever it is, you get to the scripture, it's calming. That's not what Satan wants. He wants us to fight the scripture. I know this. I believe God. And having that kind of faith can allow us to see his promises fulfilled. You see, do you really believe God? By the way, it's easy to believe God. It's easy to get the bumper sticker and throw it on the back of the car when everything's going well. It's easy to get the Jesus shirt. He's my lifeguard, whatever it is. And I'm not against that. But when push comes to shove, how is it when problems come? Do you really have faith? Hey, listen, if you're saved, you're God's child. And God wants to show himself in your life. You've got to believe the scriptures. So the truth of the Bible hasn't changed. Secondly, the comfort of prayer has not changed. Now, we pray, we get down on our knees and pray to the Lord. This guy asked him straight up. Jesus was on the earth. I mean, he was able to go to him face to face and says, I need this. My son, he's in trouble. Prayer. Later, after this was over, when Jesus talked to his disciples and kind of rebuked them, Mark chapter 9 there in verse 28, he says, and when he came into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? By the way, don't ask questions if you don't want the answers, amen? And he said unto him, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You see, maybe they got caught up in what was going on, and they're like, hey, we've done this before, we got this. And it didn't work. And Jesus said, no, this one was a little bit stronger. By the way, that demon was a little bit stronger than some of the other demons we've seen possession in the Bible. Right in front of Jesus. And you know, he said, you needed something a little bit more this time. Prayer. Prayer. You know what? We need prayer at this time. Could it be that we don't get what we need because we don't ask for what we need? You have not because ye ask not. If we believe God and we have faith in God, that will be proved by our going to God. By the way, I would rather go to God with doubt, some doubt in my heart, than not go to God at all. Do you know that doesn't bother the Lord? He was brutally honest. Jesus did not rebuke him for that. He said, man, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's okay. He came to the right place for that. What about prayer? The first thing we do when problems come, we try to figure out a solution, or we complain about it, or we blame others. Wouldn't it be best if the first thing we did was go to the Lord about it? Yes, let's be responsible and do the things we're supposed to do. Prayer does not absolve us of that. But you know what? That's usually, we get on it. Sometimes we'll have in a staff meeting or whatever, here's what we need to do for Easter, you know, and a big day, and we'll accidentally put the last thing. Just let's make sure we pray, and we always say, that should be the first thing. Well, let's bump it up to the first thing. I mean, what we've done, the few staff that are here during the week, 9 o'clock, well, it's 12 o'clock now because we have the interactive school going on here. 12 o'clock, we meet together. Just go in the chapel. We all split up at least 6 feet apart, and we pray. We've been encouraging you on Sunday night, Thursday night. We're not just filling time. Brother Joseph Esposito will come and give you our prayer request. We try to update them as things are going on. It's a big deal. I hope you're praying. We worry and stress about much, but we pray about so little. Prayer is still there. God wants to. I like Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean be crazy, okay? Don't worry. That's what it's saying. But in everything by prayer, prayer is asking. There's a new Christian, Greg Beard. He ran the bookstore at Gethsemane, and I'd go back there because I was trying to learn. He's like, here's a book you need to read by John Rice, Prayer is Asking. God wants us to ask. But everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's adding thanksgiving. You see, we focus in so much on what we need or what we don't have, we're not thankful for God for the things that we do have. By the way, what's going on in our country, do you know there's some countries, it's worse than that even when there is no virus to fight. We're blessed. Let your request be made known unto God. That's addressing specifically. God doesn't mind that. Tell God what you need. Tell God how you feel. Let him know what's going on. Hey, the comfort of prayer is not changed. Say, I'm not receiving that comfort. Are we praying? By the way, you know, it's and I feel the same way as you do, by the way. Some people are like, man, I can't go to God. I feel so inadequate. Can I just tell you something? I feel inadequate all the time. If someone gets up and is called, but I got to pray and God and me, we're buddies, and he just, then he's not praying. Okay? We go to God and it's like, why do you even listen to me? But I know you want to, so I'm here and I know you can do something. Let's pray. Thirdly, here's another thing that's not changed. The compassion of Jesus Christ has not changed. Verse 22, but if thou canst do anything, he says, have compassion on us and help us. Now, we know Jesus has compassion. Why? He helped them. We know he has compassion. Why? How many times have we read in the Gospels and Jesus saw the crowd and he had compassion on them? Just because things aren't going well doesn't mean Jesus doesn't care. You know, and I know, well, you know, if there's a God and he loves us, how come bad things happen? You know, it's pretty amazing how we spit in God's eyes, we kick him out of our school, we're kicking him out of our government, we're trying to kick him out of everything, and then when things go bad, we blame him for it. He loves us and he cares, but can I just tell you something? If we're going to choose to go away from him, he'll let us. He doesn't want us to, by the way. That verse in the Gospels, he says, oh, Jerusalem, you stoned the prophets. How often have I would have gathered you like a hen the chicks? And he says, but you would not. You didn't want me to. God, the Lord loves you. Prove it. He died for your sins. He came to this earth. It wasn't that he wasn't fast enough to get away, that he was caught. He allowed himself. We saw last week they tried to get him and it wasn't his time and he just took off. You know why? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Don't ever question that. Please. And I know sometimes we feel it. I know, and I'm not getting on if you felt like that, but just get in the Bible, get to prayer, and you'll understand Jesus does love us. Don't question his love. He cares for us. And hey, if you're fearful today, Jesus cares about you. Jesus wants to wipe that fear away. That's why the truth of the scripture is so important. Fear not. Why? Because of what the Bible says. He's not just giving us some arbitrary command. Fear not. You know, sometimes you discipline your kids and they were crying. It's like, stop crying. It's like you just disciplined them. No, he said, fear not. And then he always gives us a reason why not to. He cares. When we seem like things are financially insecure, you know, he can take care of you. He can provide for you. He can make sure that you get through it if we'll just go to him. When our future's uncertain, what's it going to look like? What's the economy going to be like once we get out of this? I don't know. I hope we rebound, but we might have some hard times. It doesn't mean Jesus doesn't care. I found out I'm sick and I got this thing going on in my life and I'm concerned about it. I don't know. He still cares for you. You can't allow what's going on in your life to push you away from Jesus because that's going to make things worse. You ought to make that push you towards Jesus because he loves you and he cares and he's compassionate. I think sometimes the reason we forget that he's compassionate towards us is because we're not as close to him as we should be. And he wants you to be. Another thing that's still true in these times is the priority of church has not changed. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some men. And so much the more as you see the day approach. You say, well, we're not assembling now. Have we forsaken it? No. That means completely abandoned. We're trying to work together to help everybody to stay well at this time. Now, by the way, if everything else opens and they said church is going to stay closed, that's not going to happen. But this is something we're doing. But can I just tell you something? We still need each other. We do. And I'm glad you're on the live stream, and I hope you'll be for all the services, and your teenagers will be here at the teen service tonight. And if your children miss this morning, have them be there Thursday night, tonight's evening service. We need that. By the way, you say, well, we can't meet together. What can we do? You know what we can do? We can contact each other. I've made more contacts in the last few weeks, and it's in my schedule, the whole different schedule I had to write up because we're doing different things now. I want to keep in contact with one another. By the way, we can still pray for you. You can still, by the way, thank you. I get so many texts like, we're praying for you. We're praying for your family. Well, we're praying for you too. We're the church. And by the way, it's not changed. And let me say this. Once we're done with this, we're meeting back together. Be here. So, I hope some of you have grown to say, you know what? I used to just come on Sunday morning. I'm going to come to more of the services. I need my church family. Well, I'm hearing the messages online. That's not enough. God wants us to be back together. Listen, when this is over, we're going to have a great opportunity to make an impact in this community because there are people that don't know the compassionate Jesus Christ, and they need him. And they're going to hear him through us, and they're going to be open, and they'll come to our church. We get in that new building. By the way, it was tremendous. We had our last inspection. We're done with the inspections until we're done with the building. And once they're done, they're going to come in for the occupancy and the fire. But listen, it's going to be great. But we need you to be with us. We need each other. And by the way, you know, I miss, you know, church is great and all that. And we're getting the messages and all the different things. And I've let the pastoral staff preach some. And I enjoy their messages and all of that. But I miss being together. I miss getting here early on Sunday morning and hanging out here with my Sunday school class and being here with the Sunday school class. I miss that in-between time between the services and greeting people. I miss after church hanging out here, meeting the new people and talking to people and the food's going on and people are hanging out. And same thing on Sunday night, same thing on Thursday night. I miss that. Amen. By the way, don't get used to this. Well, I'll just become a live stream Christian after this is all done. That's not church. If we have church and you can be here, be here. This is just what we have to do right now to help our country and to help our community. But it's not forever. The priority of church. You need something? We're still here. Somebody else needs, by the way, I've heard stories of people in our church already donating goods and money for people that are in need. Keep it up. Keep it up. Let's be the church. Let's act like the church. God gets glory in the church. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ. So we still need church. Lastly, the needs of others has not changed. Think of this story. I mentioned it early on, but let's comprehend this. Jesus, Peter, James, Peter, and Paul, they come down from the Mount Transfiguration. Those three guys were probably still on cloud nine. His disciples are there. They're getting attacked by the religious leaders. They just failed to heal this guy's son. Now they're getting run over by a bunch of religious people, kind of like the media when they question the president. And then the people are running to Jesus. He's asking them, what do you got? And here's the man in the middle. It's almost like he's jumping up and down saying, hey, I got something greater going on here. My son needs help. I'm glad he spoke up, and I'm glad Jesus was there to go through all the nonsense and say, bring him here. Isn't that what happens? In the midst of of all that's going on around us, and we're surviving, and we're making it, there are people that have serious needs. But we're so caught up in our lives sometimes, we forget that. We're all guilty of it. We walk past them every day. Not now. We are so caught up. Hey, reach out to some people you know. Let them know you're praying for them. Ask them if they need anything. Invite them to be on the live stream. By the way, people are thinking about the Lord right now. Next week is Easter. That's usually a big Sunday for all the churches. Listen, there are people out there. If you'll just invite them. I'd get on my phone this week. And I'd look through my, we text people about everything else. Hey, I got this business opportunity. Why don't we go out there and text everybody on our list? Hey, join us for the live stream. It's Easter this week. Look through your email book. Email everybody. Join us in the live stream. People that you come in social distancing contact with, invite them. Just because doesn't mean we can't invite people. You have a group of people you know and you can influence. Let's get them here. They have needs. They might not tell us their needs. You may not know what they're going through, but they are going through some things. Maybe you need to call some people this week. We're going to make a little e-invitation, and we'll send it to you. You can use it in your emails. You can use it in your text. Hey, people still need help. I think it was Miss Gloria doing a discipleship Bible study with some of the ladies in the Filipino class, probably zooming it in. Listen, people still need the Lord. When we get back, we're going to be so excited. Man, we're in church, and who knows, we may be in our new building. It'll be really close if not. And we're so excited about that, but there'll still be people out there that have needs and have problems, always. You say, well, what happens once we get through this and the economy, maybe it's booming again, everything's back to normal. Things will never be back to normal for some people. And even when things are normal, they'll still get ill. They'll still have problems. There's still things going on. There are still people that sin has dominated their life, and they need someone just to care. The needs of others have not changed. I challenge you. In the midst of all that's going on around us, and maybe a year from now it'll be something different. Maybe it'll just be personally. I believe, but Lord, help thou my unbelief. Let's run to the things we know that are true. The Bible's not changed and it never will. Prayer has not changed and it never will. Jesus has not changed and he never will. The church, the importance of church has not changed and it never will. And the people of this world and their needs, that's not changed. And it never will. Let's stake ourselves. Let's throw our anchor down on these things that don't change in these perilous times. May we pray together this morning.